Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Let's jump into this. How about I pray for us as we jump into God's word? So let's pray. Well, Father, we praise you for the gift it is to have your word, to have your spirit working in our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that this morning we would hear your words. Please remove any distractions that would snatch your word away from us. Lord, please change us by your word, transform us, that we'd be the people you would have us be, pursuing the purpose that you've set for us together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks in the holidays, we've been digging into God's purpose for life. Last week, as Jamie said, heard he took us through God's purpose in work. Today, we're going to be thinking a little bit of a step back from that, but our purpose together as God's people. So not just one particular part of life, but as a body of people, what is God's purpose for us together? So that's what we're going to be getting into. I think it goes without saying that purpose is a wonderful gift. To have purpose, to have a vision for life, to have direction, determination to achieve something perhaps you wouldn't have otherwise got to, but because you're driven to get there, you can achieve it. It's the agenda for your life. My life is, that's your purpose. Purpose is a wonderful gift, and it's also necessary. It's great to have it. It's terrible to not have it. Because without it, we wonder what life's about. What's the point? What's the meaning? We can be left despairing. What's the point? And I think there's been a bit of a movement going on around the place, people talking about more and more people turning to the things of Christ around the world. I think a lot of that has probably been driven, for a bunch of people, maybe that's you this morning, driven by a want, a craving for something that matters. Because the world's answers, they just leave us empty. We're wondering, what is it about? What am I doing here? And there's no answers, it seems. And so people turning to Christ, wanting this thing, this wonderful gift of purpose. So what is the purpose then? And what's your purpose? Among the many gifts of having God's word, among the many gifts of having a God who speaks and makes things clear to us, is the clarity of purpose. God makes it very clear the reason why you exist. He makes that very clear. And not just why you exist and the purpose of life, but also the path of purpose. How do you pursue that purpose for your life? So not just what it is, but also how to pursue it. And so that's what we're going to be jumping into this morning, those two questions, thinking about what the purpose is and how to pursue that. If you're newer to the things of Jesus, perhaps you're investigating these things, perhaps it's purpose that's brought you along. Today, we get to go really clear and see what God says in his word about purpose. And so tune in for that. But for many of us this morning, perhaps you've been following Jesus for a long time. For you, perhaps it's not so much that you need to know the answer to that question. You want to pursue it. You know that you want it. You know it's good. But I think what can happen in Christian life is it's like God's word is a compass and we have the true north. But what can often happen is life, we get distracted and we start slightly off. But then as we keep going on and on and on, we can end up miles away. Sometimes we're just walking straight south because we haven't come to God's word and seen it. And so this morning, it's a chance for us to be clear again on that purpose and to actually pursue it together. It's been wonderful the last bunch of weeks, hearing lots of people come to faith and come to put their trust and hope in Jesus. And that's been so cool to hear and so good to celebrate that together. And it's a chance for you again to hear what is the purpose of life. What is it and how to pursue it? Because it can be, even being a Christian for a long time, it can be like a vague idea. I know that God has a purpose for me. But this morning in his word, he gives it concrete reality, what it looks like to pursue it. So let's jump into that together. I'm looking forward to getting to this. So open up your Bible. Ephesians 4, verse 11 is where we're going to start. And it starts here with a gift that God has given Jesus himself, it says, has given to his people. So have a look at verse 11. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." Christ himself has given us a gift. And very quickly, just what are those different gifts? the apostles and prophets, I think if you just go back to chapter 2, verse 20, it's those who wrote God's word, and that's the word on which we're founded as God's people. I think that's what he has particularly in mind there. The evangelists, those who spread that word that they wrote, the good news of Jesus, they spread that. You could think of like a modern day missionary, I guess, as an example of that. And then there's the pastors and teachers who teach that word. Notice they're all about the word. And so why does he give that gift? And this is where he starts talking about our purpose together. Verse 12, he gives that to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We're to be God's people who are built up. That's what this verse is saying for us. He unpacks it a little bit. So look at verse 13 with me. Built up to what? Well, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's God's purpose for our life together, that we would be built up as God's people, built up into faith, the unity of faith, are the things that we believe as God's people, the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, until we become mature, and it says attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This purpose is a wonderful gift for us. And just notice quickly how much it is about us, this purpose. Not about individual people having a purpose and finding their unique thing. This part of God's word is talking about our purpose together until we all reach it. It's together, it's corporate, it's not private, it's not just about me, it's about us together. It's not personal fulfillment either. Notice that the thing we're striving for is not to be the best me, but no, the best you is found in Christ's fullness. We pursue his fullness. So often I think in Christian life and just in life generally, people will think about purpose as a unique individual thing that I've got to find. And it's one of the ways we get skewed from that compass. We imagine that God has this big, unique plan for me, and that's the big I go headlong for. Verse 7, it says there's unique gifts that God gives to his people. But notice what Paul spells out here, and in all of his letters. The thing he spells out, the thing that's the most significant thing, is the purpose that we share. Not the individual one, the purpose we share. We swim in a tide of in a culture of individualism. It's all about us and me and what I want. And I think we can map that onto God's word, that kind of culture, and forget that it's actually saying we, not me. When God's word says, it says until we all reach this together. It's not just one gift for one person among God's family. There's no golden child here that gets the best present. No, it's our present together. We unwrap it together from a gracious Heavenly Father given to all God's people, something wonderful and glorious. So it's not just for an individual. He gives us all the best thing. What is it? Well, he says it's attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? What is the fullness of Christ? God's purpose is that we're built up into this, but what is it? It's possible you read it and just think, oh, it means that we become the Son of God. Well, it can't mean that. We don't become Jesus, right? But there's something, it's saying something along those lines. So what is it saying? I think it's more like the builder's plan. Builders, if they're doing their right job, they build according to a plan. When I make something, I just see what happens. But a good builder, right? A good builder does the right thing, has a plan in mind. Well, God, the ultimate builder, made us with a plan, and especially his people, he has a plan. He made us for, he saved us for this. He tells us to pursue it as our purpose. And like the builder builds according to a plan, so God has built us and has for us to attain his own image. Who is that image? He wants us to be in his image. What does that mean? It means to be Christ. We see a bunch of passages across the Bible. You've probably heard of the one in Genesis, that we're made in his image, this high dignity that God places on people. But notice that we're made in his image, but Jesus, the Son of God, is the image. We're made in measure towards him. He's the builder's plan. He's the builder as well. Our God himself, and we're made in the image. So as we see Christ, we see who God wants us to be. There's a couple of scriptures on there. Another one that we're going to see later this term as we dig into Romans. Romans 8 verse 29. He's called us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God measures us according to, he builds us towards the image of Christ, the perfect builder's plan. And so that we might attain to his whole measure and to be built up together into that. Everything Christ is full of, that is what he's building us towards. And he invites us to come and share in it together. Not just one of us, each of us together. We get to come and share in this message, in this purpose. And he wants it for each of us. As his people, as Christ's people, he gives us that title and he now gives us a life worthy of that title, to live as he lived. And you can see how this plays out just in the rest of Ephesians chapter 4. And a little bit of 5. So Paul, as he tells us how to live the Christian life, he keeps measuring us against who God is, who Christ is. And so look at chapter 4, verse 24, just a little bit down there. He says, put off the old self, put on the new self, in verse 23 and 22, 23. And then verse 24, it's the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's the God who is full of holiness, Christ who's full of holiness. If we're his people, his body, we're to be more and more that. Now, he calls us holy. We don't have to do anything to earn that. We trust him and he declares us holy, but now he gets us to live worthy of that title, worthy of that declaration, that we would grow together like Christ in holiness and righteousness. He also talks about love, chapter 5, verse 1. Have a look there. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The Christ who is full of love, well, we're coming to share in that fullness. We're coming to be more and more conformed to that fullness. Christ himself, made to be people of love. And so what is the true north on the compass? What's the purpose he has? What's the path? It's Christ. And to be conformed to that image. We're to be like him. Now there's a really key word there. So have a look again in verse 13. It's the first word there. It says until. That's a key thing to get. It's not that it just happens, right? No, God is still building the building. God is still working out his purpose in his people's life. We still pursue this together until we all reach it. And so God has a plan one day to bring us into the fullness of that, more and more into the likeness of Christ. But now, this side of that, we're striving towards it as God's people, to be more and more like Christ, our head, the head of the body. That's our purpose. And so I just want to ask you, how's your reaction to that purpose? I've found myself perhaps before, and even maybe right now, as you think about this, you might be thinking, in honesty, you might just be like, it's just a bit underwhelming. Because what the world does and what people say sometimes is that individual thing, and that seems exciting. That seems like that's really cool and that's wonderful. And then when God speaks to us and makes really clear that it's our purpose, it can sound a little bit underwhelming, maybe perhaps not exciting. Well, I think it's better that we name that and deal with that rather than just pretend it's not there. Because we think, don't we? Is that it? Is that all he's got for me? Just what everyone gets as God's people? But you realize, I hope, that that's a problem with us, not a problem with the purpose. It's a problem with our vision and our ability to see the majesty of it, to see the privilege of what we've been called to. So let me try and help us unpack that privilege for a moment. So I want you to use your mind, as we always do, not that you're just turning it on for the first time, but particularly for this activity, I want you to think of someone. Think of someone you aspire to. Perhaps you even envy them. You know, maybe you follow them on Instagram or something like that. And, you know, whatever they've got, that's what you want. And they've just got the perfect life, it seems. Now, it doesn't even have to be a real person. Not that Instagram gives you reality. But if your life could be different, even if you're not sure anyone has it, how would you want it to be different? How would you want your life to change? What's in your life that you don't want? What's it not in your life that you do want? Perhaps influence or reputation or money or stuff or lifestyle. It's the friends and family. They have a full life because of the relationships they have. Whatever it is, you've got that in mind, hopefully. Perhaps you might need to think on it a little bit more. But for me, I don't think it's a real person. Maybe there is. I haven't thought enough, but as I reflected on that question this week, I think sometimes I just want some kids that behave themselves. But other times I think it is the lifestyle thing. It's people that can live a certain way and do certain stuff, and that seems a lot bigger and fuller. That's easy to envy. But what is it for you? Who is it for you? And hopefully you can see what we're doing as we reflect on that. We're not just thinking about what we like in life. There's something deeper going on in our hearts there. There's someone's fullness that we aspire to and someone's fullness that we want to attain to. We want our lives to be conformed to a particular kind of image. That's our builder's plan. That's what we want our life. And if we were the builder, that's where we'd bring us. Whatever it is in your mind, though, how does that measure up to the fullness of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does it measure? So who else would you rather be like? And who else would you rather be the builder's plan? Who else is the ideal than him? His great love for us. Didn't we? It was so helpful reflecting on it over Easter just recently. That he gives up his life to save sinners like us. That he goes through what he goes through with us in mind to save us. The greatness of his love, the greatness of his holiness as well. Not just that he never does a bad thing, but he always, every moment, does the right and perfect thing. He's never let someone down. Wouldn't that be good? Never letting someone down, never hurting the people that you love, never messing up the people you care about. In every moment, every decision, perfect at every point. And not even just his own perfection that he exudes, but as he's faced with all the trash of other people, he has the stability and the ability to forgive and the willingness to come close to people who otherwise would be rejected. Even as he hung on the cross, tortured, crucified, he says, "Father, forgive them." Surely there's no Instagram profile that's doing that for you, right? That Jesus is immeasurable. You can't stand him up against anyone else. Everyone else will fall flat compared to him. There is no better ideal for us together than to be conformed to his image. Nothing better. That's the builder's plan, and that's the wonderful gift that he has for each of us, that we would attain to that measure. This wonderful purpose, this wonderful gift, it's for each of us. It's not that there's a golden child that just gets this present and someone else gets another present. No, no, this is our gift together as God's people, the best purpose for each of us. God's people together. He gives us this purpose. We've been called to be more and more together like the most incredible man who's ever walked the planet. That is our purpose. How do we pursue it? Because it's one thing to know your purpose in life, which is great. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to not just know the north, but also the path that gets you there. And God makes that really clear for us this morning. What is the path of that purpose? How do you pursue it? Well, the first thing to point out here is that you pursue this path by pursuing the truth. I don't know if you noticed that as we read it together earlier, how much the truth is just interwoven all through here. But look at it with me again. So even verse 11, it's those who teach the truth and bring the truth. Verse 12, we're to be equipped for works of service so that we're built up And notice what we're built up into till we reach unity in the faith. You don't have Christian unity outside of the truth. It's in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about the truth. In verse 15, he'll say, instead, speaking the truth in love. To pursue this purpose, we need to pursue the truth. If you want to grow to be like Christ, you need to know him. Know the builder's plan. Know him more. He's much more than just a builder's plan. Sure, that you understand the picture. That you can't be conformed to that image without knowing who he is. And when you come to know a person, it's very different to just knowing a topic. You can read about topics and you can learn stuff and do nothing with it, I guess, if you want to. But learning about a person is very different. So your spouse, you learn about your spouse and it's supposed to lead to something. It's not just that you know something about them, but you admire them, you appreciate them, you respect them more. It helps you respond rightly to the person who it is. And God doesn't give us these words to just know a bunch of topics. Those topics are about a person that he invites us to know, the knowledge of the Son of God. God doesn't just give us to just know stuff, but to know him, that we would love him, we'd respond rightly in obeying him, and that we would treasure him. And so a Christianity that softens down or waters down or doesn't speak much about the truth is a Christianity that's forgotten that Christ is the truth. He's the person. He's the one we know about as we come to him in Scripture. And we relate to him now in a particular way. We live by faith now, not by sight. He's with us by his Spirit at this point. One day we wait for the day when he returns. We've sung, "Come, Lord Jesus." We look forward to that day when we'll see him by sight, when he will be with us physically. But until then, God has determined that we relate to him and know him through his word. That's how we know this God. It's like, as someone's spoken about before, it's like he's a loved one in a distant country, and though you can't see them, you long for them to come home, but when the phone calls, you answer that phone call. Because it's the one who's speaking on that phone that you want to engage with, you want to see again one day, that you're longing to see, that you look forward to seeing, and you look forward to relating with them. And so the way you treat that phone, the way you treat God's word, is the way you treat the person behind that call. The words that come aren't just about an interesting topic on the phone. It's not a boring podcast or something like that. No, it's a person speaking to us, inviting us to know him. It's an invitation to relate to Christ, the one we're being built towards in his image. Because the truth is in this phone call from Christ. And so to pursue that purpose, we need to hear from him. Hear how he wants us to pursue that purpose. Hear what that purpose is and pursue it together. Now, I think that can be a challenge for us. Maybe you found that a challenge to be in the Word, to pick it up daily as a daily habit. We try and do that as Christians because we love Jesus. It's not just topics to learn about. It's an invitation to know and love a person. And so we do things like make those daily reading notes to help. Maybe they're a good way. There's also this website that'll come up on the screen. Some ideas for just getting into the Word of God. But we don't do that just so that we tick a box. No, we do it to relate to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's died to save us, who calls us to live with him, and we relate to him now in these words, like he's calling us on the phone. The way we treat that phone call is the way we treat him. And so, check out those resources. If you just Google EV, getting into God's Word, Google knows everything these days, so just type something into Google, it'll figure it out. But ideas can help, right? So get into these ideas if that helps you. But I think the best thing is just start. Like, just get into it. Don't worry about how your life's been in God's Word so far. Just worry about today and tomorrow and get into it. It's just like any other habit. And maybe getting around other people to help you encouraging that will be helpful as well. And because we have so many people come to know Christ lately, it's okay if it starts out like a foreign language. I can remember the first time I sat in a Bible study here at EV when I was about 16 or something, and we were looking at Isaiah. I had no idea what on earth was going on. over time, you learn the language. You learn the one who speaks that. And the reason it starts tricky is not because he's trying to be hard. No, it's because there's riches and depths to the Lord Jesus. There's a fullness of Christ. And so you'll be loving and knowing him for the rest of your days and for the rest of eternity. So it starts off a little bit tricky. So we pursue our purpose by pursuing the truth, because he is truth and he relates to us in the words of truth. So we pursue pursue our purpose by pursuing the truth, and we do that urgently. So have a look at verse 14 again with me. He says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." That's not how I view the world, naturally, is it? That there's a world and there's an intention out there, a intention of deceit and cunning in order to scam us. What this verse is saying is, it's like there's scammers trying to call your phone. You've got the word of God, the phone call from Christ, and there's scammers trying to ring you, and how annoying are they? But there's a worse kind of scam, according to Ephesians here, according to God's word. There's a worse kind of scam, because instead of speaking the words of Christ, they speak of a different Christ, perhaps a different purpose, perhaps saying true things but twisting them into errors. Sometimes so focused on the peripherals but that we forget the central truths. It's cunning, it's deceitful, it's terrible. We need to hear Christ on the phone, and we hear him in his word of truth. But we live in a world where there's pretend Christ, pretend truths, and they do that, notice verse 4, to keep us as infants. God's purpose is to build us up into Christ. They keep us infants. And so, that's why we need each other. From the pastors, preachers, but before them, the evangelists who spread that message, to those who wrote that message down, who originally brought God's word to us. And we also need the whole body to speak the truth in love, to grow into that true Christ, not a phony, not a fake one. It matters for us. This is an urgent pursuit because there's a serious danger. It matters that we grow into the truth and that we do it urgently, because in our world there is an intent to bring us down, to be blown around the place. Do you believe that? I was saying before, it's hard to naturally think that about the world, isn't it? That there's a kind of urgency by which we need to pursue the truth because of the danger that exists, that we're not just tossed around, that we're not blown here and there by all sorts of other truths. Well, the way we become not just a dinghy in a storm tossed around, but a stabilized ship, us together, the way we do that is by being on about and pursuing urgently the truth. All of us pursuing the truth together. That's the first thing I just wanted to point out here about how we pursue it. We pursue this purpose by pursuing the truth and by doing it urgently. The second thing here is that we pursue this purpose together by each playing our part. So have a look at verse 15 again with me. He says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head," that is Christ. "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So brothers and sisters, hear this. God has a wonderful purpose for us. It's a purpose, though, that we pursue by taking some ownership. It's by each of us playing our part in it. As a church community here in Erina, perhaps you're visiting with us, this is true for your local church, God's purpose is that together we would receive this wonderful gift, but that wonderful gift, that purpose, comes with a responsibility that we play a part in it. If we're to be who God calls us to be, if we're to live out the purpose that God has for us, well, then we have this responsibility. Verse 15, we speak the truth in love. Verse 16, as each part does its work. You can't live God's purpose for your life without a commitment to God's people. You can't live God's purpose for your life without a commitment to God's people. Notice that's what this is saying. It's not just me saying that. This is God's word. He's saying that. So every time you wonder, what's God's purpose for my life? What's his direction for me? Well, just change me to we. It's us together. What's his purpose for us? No, that's the thing that Paul spells out here. That's the thing that he's on about here. That's the thing the Bible makes really clear. It's our purpose together. Of course, we take responsibility for our own growth. Part of taking responsibility for our growth together is taking responsibility for ours and our Christian maturity. But you also take responsibility for your family and your kids, sure. But what Paul's saying here is it just doesn't stop there. There's a bigger family to be mindful of. There's a bigger body, there are bigger people. We all speak the truth together in love. We all play our part together. That's how we pursue our purpose together. And notice how we go about that. We do it lovingly. We do it lovingly. In verse 14, it says that the errors are spoken in deceit, in their deceitful scheming. But we're to speak the truth in love. We do it in a loving way. We speak the truth in love as we love one another. In verse 16, it says, the whole body grows and is built. Builds itself up in love. We pursue the truth. We pursue our purpose. We do that by playing our part together. We do that in love. It's possible, isn't it? And perhaps you've seen this, and it's pretty ugly. When people harness the truth in a prideful way and they use it to build themselves up and knowledge puffs up, right? Well, God says to us here, no, it's not to be like that. The truth is to be spoken in love, to not build yourself up, but to build the body up. And I want to ask this morning, I think this brings a question to us. Do you love your church family? Do you love your church family? How would you even know? What does that even look like? How do you even speak the truth in love? What does that mean for us? How do we play our part? Because I don't expect that you know every person here, and let alone the other congregations. And there's a difference between a gathering of 60 people and 600 or 6,000. How you speak the truth in love, how you play your part looks a bit different. It's one reason why our small groups are so key to what we do in life together, so that we have an opportunity to walk closely, to speak the truth. To care for, to pray for one another, to love people. And so just a little encouragement there, consider carving out some time in your week for that and to do it each week. How do you play your part in each other's purpose? And especially in perhaps a little bit of a crowd here, but Paul's not against church that's over 60 people. You know, the church of Jerusalem had 3,000 people added to it in a day. They had to deal with what it looks like to speak the truth in love. Paul wasn't oblivious to this fact. It's also why one of the gifts that Jesus gives is evangelist, because part of the body growing is that more come, more hear this good news. So we should expect more people to come. So church size isn't an excuse to lack love and to not speak the truth in love. It's not a get out of jail card. But it might just look a bit different to what you would expect. How do you speak the truth in love in our context together? Well, growth groups are a big part of that. It's also why, and praise God for all the people that take on those formal roles with our kids, our scripture teachers, our youth and churn leaders, our growth group leaders who have a formal role in teaching the truth in love. But gee, each of us, there's so many ways we can together speak the truth in love. So many ways. Just being here and sitting in a place and taking the time out of your week to sit and focus, and the way you focus and the way you listen to God's word, that's a message about the truth, that it matters. And so just doing that is one of the ways we speak the truth in love, your attention to it. When we sing and we proclaim these wonderful truths about who our God is and what he's done for us, we speak the truth in love. Colossians 3:16 put it to like this, that the message of Christ dwells amongst us richly as we sing to one another. I think another just easy way you can do it is by just talking to people after church. You can ask them how they found this morning, maybe not that question, maybe slightly different. What yeah, especially when the new guys are up, right? Don't do that. It'll be too much. There'll be too much to talk about without getting anywhere. But instead, maybe ask the question, is there something that you've been encouraged by? Maybe not even this morning, maybe this week. Or something you've been challenged by? Is there something you're wrestling with that God's wanting to change in you, perhaps? And to sit and have those conversations, and I get it, it's tricky. I've got little kids too, and they're running amok and trying to break someone's guitar and stuff. It's not always easy, and there's things going on in life, but just trying to take some time. And as we do that each week, there's moments for us to speak the truth in love. And then during the week, when we get to know each other enough that we talk to each other about tragedies and trials and through the everyday parts of life, and in those moments we can speak the truth in love. This is not just about a formal role or a formal position. This is each of us together speaking the truth in love. And it's not about church size. That church size doesn't give you an excuse. It just changes perhaps the way it looks. Well, a lot of those things would look the same in a lot of places. We've got to make time to be able to do that. I imagine there's things in your calendar that are non-negotiable, but I wonder how this filters into your calendar. Because it's our purpose together, not just for you, not just for your biological family, but this family. It's our purpose together. We each play our part. The attitude you come to with church, the way you pray for the church, pray for the people, we each play our part in this. There is so much truth speaking we can do in love. And it's wonderful to be part of this community because so much of it's happening, so much around the place. And so be encouraged, but be envisioned to keep going because this is God's purpose for us. This is His purpose for our life together, that we would together grow into the fullness of Christ as we pursue the truth urgently and as we each play our part lovingly. And there's no better purpose than that. No better ideal. And it's so great to have a God who makes that ideal, that path, that purpose known, and also the way to pursue it. So why don't I pray for us that we would do that together? Pray with me. Well, Father, we thank you so much for calling us to such a wonderful purpose, such a high privilege, that we would be called Christ, that He would be ours, that we would be His body, His people, and that you would enable us by your Spirit, by your Word, by us together serving you and loving each other and loving you, that we'd be more and more living the life that's worthy of that title. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would work in us. Give us what we need to grow in number and grow in depth for the Christ glory we pray, that we might be in His fullness more and more. Would we be people who speak the truth in love? Give us the words to say to build up one another. And Lord, would we make it our priority to pursue your purpose for us? In Jesus' name, amen.